Try Liquid Zeolite today.
Welcome to another version of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, all those nooks and crannies in between. Big shout out to all our friends in Canada. Also, Christina in Sweden, Jack Down Under, and the rest of the crew. Thanks so much for paying attention to this show. And I'll tell you, speaking of paying attention, this was a story that immediately went viral. I mean, instantaneously, when people were complaining, Monday is a day when media people show up to work. What are we going to talk about? What's happening in Washington? What's going on with jobs? What's happening at the pump? You know, you can turn on any news station in the United States. I don't care if it's Poughkeepsie, New York, Sarasota, Florida, Los Angeles, California, Oklahoma City, or Dallas, Texas, anywhere in the great state of Connecticut or Vermont, and you will find a station that will have a freezing anchor person slash reporter, could be either or, and they're standing there with the mic, and they're interviewing people who are filling up their SUVs, their cars, whatever, and talking to them about the pain at the pump. So that was going to be the big story. It's the president's fault. The Republicans running to grab the Republican nod for president really capped on gas prices, saying that it was Obama because it was, I looked this up, it was $1.87 in 2008 when he was running, and Obama was saying that it was about gas prices and where they were headed. And now it's doubled because in some places they're paying over $4 for a gallon of regular gasoline, especially in the Golden State in California. I feel you. And in Illinois, too, in that Chicago area, they always get socked pretty hard. So you have at least five states that they're definitely paying over $4, and in fact, almost close to five. I've said on this show many times, and it's true, I really believe this. My unscientific research tells me, which would mean my instinct, if gasoline in this country were to be at $7 for a gallon of regular, the man who's at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue would no longer be in the White House, because no matter what, that would send him parachuting, catapulting out of the office. And I don't think any of the magic of all the kingmakers that put the president in place in the first place, like your David Axelrods or Robert Gibbs, who are masters at campaigning, the Karl Rove of the Democratic Party, if you will. I don't know how they could spin that into a positive light and have Obama not take the flack for the price of gasoline. So the story, it wasn't, you're hearing about the gasoline, and that was the big thing. But the story that immediately caught everyone's attention and made everybody hold their breath for a second is a student shoots at a group of other students, kills one, and four others are hurt. And you see another photo of a long-faced, sour-looking kid in a leather jacket who, for some reason, his name is T.J. Lane, decided in Chardon, Ohio, he was going to shatter a bunch of lives. Some kids that know him describe him as just a normal teenage boy. Others say that he was being picked on at school. But however the narrative unfolds, it equals a tragedy beyond that small little town outside of Cleveland, because once again, you ask the question of, my goodness, where are your children safe? And you really can't protect them from the big bad world. They really can't live in the isolated bubble, because this is a conversation they're talking about. The kids are talking about in the playgrounds and what happened in that school. They might not remember the name of the town, but they know what happened there. And should you not have that conversation with them, I say it's an opportunity to have the conversation with them. the question of why. Why does this happen? Maybe this is just wishful Disney-like thinking, but is there a way to somehow figure out peace in schools? Is there a way to stop the insanity of bullying? But yet as it leaves my lips, I know it's almost ridiculous to say that. How long has bullying been around? And the answer is, ever since the first kids went to school. The first wooden schoolhouse. The one-room schoolhouse. It's human nature. And that used to be part of the process, that you were told, in fact, I know I was told by my mother, no less, that I wasn't to fight with anyone, but if somebody took a swing at me, hit me, boom, that I was to hit back, that you respond. You stick up for yourself, but you try not to have that happen. Of course, in my world, that luckily never happened, and that wasn't a big deal at the school that I went to, but I guarantee there were kids that were picked on. I guarantee there were kids that were bullied, that felt awkward, that were preyed upon in some way. And maybe this is the case, because we don't know this for sure, but maybe this is the case with this TJ Lane. Unfortunately, that doesn't do much for the parents who, in the end, are stuck with the result of one boy, Daniel Parmenter, being killed, and four others being wounded and spending the night in a hospital. Here's what one parent said.
As a mother, I mean, the school is being really great about it. I'm just really scared for her because I can't be with her, and I can't even get near the school. The shooting took place in the cafeteria at 7:30 this morning. I know that four kids were shot. That's what she knew.
See, and even some of the details there were wrong, but she said, I'm frustrated because I can't get to my child, because that's the first thing that they're thinking about. The first thing that they're thinking about is, how fast can I get there? I hope they're okay. Because Columbine is the reference point for many people, and at Columbine, so many kids narrowly escaped and, you know, dug in or threw themselves underneath tables and got lucky and didn't get hit, or got hit and survived. And then there were so many others that didn't. So our reference point, I think, at least in the United States, is that shooting and the terrible aftermath as a result, and the two shooters taking themselves out. In this case, TJ Lane was taken down by a teacher who apprehended him, and I guess he didn't put up much of a fight, but the teacher had him. The police come to the school, they arrest him, and now it's a question of putting the pieces together of the gun, why he did it, maybe he'll say, maybe they have to dig harder for that, you know, whatever the reason. It's the why that we might come up with this time, and we're already sort of painting the picture, and it looks as though he was having problems, maybe, with some students, and that's what set him off, and before you knew it, it was just too late for those kids, just way too late. So the question also, moving the story forward, and something that we'll talk about this hour of America tonight, is it safe anymore to send your kids to school? Is homeschooling going to become more of an option, or is that just ridiculous magical thinking, and you just have to hope that the schools have systems in place and that your kid isn't the victim of one of these shootings that randomly and occasionally happen? Coming up next, we're talking about energy drinks and just how bad are they for you. Next with Greg Stebbin. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price, and you could lose money. But it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk, soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally, instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
Matt Johnson, the board op producer extraordinaire for America Tonight, is an energy drink guy, 5-hour energy. I don't know how he does it. Now there's something new that's being reported by Men's Health magazine about energy drinks making you tired. So we might actually be capping on young Matt tonight. Craig Stevin, our pal, one of the editors of Men's Health magazine, is with us. Greg, is this good for Matt? He just turned 30 and he is downing those 5-hour energies. Is this really zapping him in the end?
Oh, gee. No, I'm just kidding about the yawn there. It's not, you know, it's interesting that his demographic, his age, of men in particular are really drinking this stuff like nobody's business. The sales of these products have doubled in more than 5 years. And just tons of guys, 18 to 24, 18 to 30, are drinking this stuff like it's Diet Coke or grabbing a Coke. And that's really part of the danger is you forget that it's really having that kind of physiological impact on you. And then you begin to think, well, I'm drinking energy drinks. I don't have to go to sleep. And the reality is, sleep is one of the most important things you can do for the human body. And so some of it's just keeping your own life in balance. And the other is, if you look at the ingredients, why would you want to be pouring this stuff in your body every day?
Because you want to keep going, because you want to climb the corporate ladder, make $1 million, pick up the babes.
No, I understand that. But, you know, again, you have to think about the balance of things. So let me throw out another statistic that's really alarming. The number of energy drink-related hospital visits has surged more than tenfold since 2005.
Wow.
10 times more hospital visits since 2005, and primarily amongst guys. Why guys? Because we're always trying to push it to the limit, and these drinks make us feel like we're doing a better job of pushing it. We can go harder, we can go longer, we can go further. We just pop the top on one of these, we drink it, and again, we don't get the rest we need, and ultimately, you're gonna pay the price. It's gonna take a toll. And why do that to yourself It's okay once in a while, but it's a really terrible thing to do on a habitual basis.
Yeah, you sent me something about, and you talk about this, you give the tips in the article you did. It's called Energy Crisis is the name of the story. And you talk about really being careful when drinking something that's called a coffee energy drink. Why? What difference does that make?
Well, we already know that caffeine amps you up. Now, to be honest, you need to do a little research on coffee to realize that there are always conflicting reports about caffeine being good for you or bad for you. But I think if you really dig into it, and we've written about caffeine a lot over the years at Men's Health, you know, at the end of the day, coffee is actually pretty healthy for you. I'm not saying you should start drinking it as like a vitamin. It's not healthy like that. But there's actually good things in coffee for you as long as you don't overdo it and abuse it. And again, don't use it to replace actual sleep. But when you start drinking a coffee energy drink, they call it a coffee energy drink to make you think you're drinking coffee, good old familiar coffee that you've been drinking for years. But again, if you grab the can or the bottle and you look at the ingredients, you're going to see all kinds of stuff in there that if you're smart, you're going to think to yourself, I don't want to be doing this. I mean, there's ingredients in there with side effects like abdominal pain, headaches, even possibility of increasing risk of cancer.
Oh, yeah, forget that. No way. Put that aside. Absolutely. Now, do you give a better move, a thing that you can do by drinking coffee lukewarm? Tell everybody about that. I thought you just wrote that as a joke to me, but I guess it's true.
The idea here is if you're really wiped out, instead of grabbing an energy drink, what we suggest is grab a lukewarm cup of coffee, drink it really fast, then close your eyes and take a power nap for 15 or 20 minutes. What that'll do is the nap will give you enough rest to decrease your sleep drive, and the coffee in your system will pump you up and give you enough drive to get done whatever it is you need to get done. But at the end of the day, getting sleep is the most important thing. And also thinking about exercise and diet. You know, one of the things you can do to give yourself energy instead of drinking an energy drink is to do things like eat a real protein-rich snack. That will give you a lot more energy and make you a lot more alert as well. Getting exercise, eating the right foods, and getting enough sleep, this is just basic, core, essential stuff your body needs.
I know everybody says that thing, though. You know this, Greg, about sleep, and then that's the thing that we all press, but it is true. I think for myself, and I know you burn the candles at both ends, lots of candles sometimes. You can't help it.
Yeah.
But don't
listen to me like I'm Mr. Perfect here either.
Yeah.
I'm just as guilty of doing these things as lots of other people. But you know what? Getting more sleep's a lot easier for people than I think they realize. I'll tell you one of the tricks. When you go home at night, don't turn on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit in front of it and surf the web.
Mm-hmm.
Don't turn on the TV. Go to bed. The best way to get sleep is to go to bed. Because if you procrastinate and delay that's sleep you're not going to get. And you know what? We all know from experience, the minute you sit in front of the web or the TV, hours and hours can go by. You weren't even paying attention. And the next thing you know, oh, it's 4 a.m. and you're only going to get 2 or 3 hours of sleep. Bad way of managing your time.
Yeah, I agree. And every single one of us does it. We're all guilty of it. So if you just ignore it and turn everything off, you're right. Have something to eat, work out, whatever, go to bed. And that's a surefire way that we could all find more time shortly. Now, there was something else you mentioned, and I thought this was interesting because I didn't even know this existed. Maybe I just wasn't looking around. But there's something called energy gum. Is that right? That can't be good for you.
Well, it's the same idea as an energy drink. There's also energy shots, and then there's energy gum. And part of the problem here is just that, look, I mean, people who chew gum, you just put a stick in your mouth and you chew it a while, and then you have another stick. And then after a while, the flavor's gone, and you have another stick. Maybe you take the old wad out and you put a new wad in. But you know what? Let's say every one of those sticks is worth a cup of coffee. Well, it's real easy over the course of an hour or two to end up chewing the whole pack of gum. Well, what did you just do to yourself in terms of the amount of caffeine or artificial ingredients you just put into your body that are designed to give you much more energy? You can begin to see why people are going to the hospital after using these products. They break down into cold sweats. They think they're having a heart attack. Why? Because it's so easy to, in a sense, self-medicate and overdose yourself with these products because you just don't think about it because they look like regular gum, regular shots, regular soda, and they're not. They have stuff in them that are designed to stimulate you, and we forget and don't treat them like the stimulants that they are.
Yeah, absolutely. How long is it before we have pods at workplaces where you can actually see, if I had a big company, even if I had a small, medium-sized company, whatever, I think the idea is if you're going to ask people to work more or that's what you need or there's a certain project, what if you got people pods? You know what I'm talking about, like those sleep pods. Almost.
Oh, I know exactly what. I think that there probably are companies that do that now. Years ago, worked in Silicon Valley at .com. They didn't give us a place to sleep, but they gave us dinner every night at 8:30. So that meant everybody stayed until 8:30 to have dinner, and then you'd go back to your desk and you'd do another hour's worth of work.
Oh.
Yeah, people sticking around till 10 o'clock at night every night because dinner was for free. They could have just as easily added pods as you're suggesting, and a lot of people would have just spent the night and woke up in the morning or in the middle of the night and gone back to work even more.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily. See, I was thinking from the perspective of, okay, let me take a power nap for 15, 20 minutes, and then boom, I'm back and I'm thriving at my desk and it all is good because I've taken a little bit of a nap, but maybe that would lead to other things, like you said, where people say
there are companies now that recognize the value of that, and they may not have somewhere for you to go to lay down and sleep. And I think some people report that when they're napping, actually laying down gives them a bit of like a sleep hangover when they wake up. But, you know, if you just sit back in your chair and relax, you might find that just closing your eyes for 5 or 10 minutes, as long as that's not going to get you in trouble at work, might give you a lot of refreshment and energy when you wake back up and enable you to go back to work at a much harder, faster pace than you would have without taking the nap at all.
Yeah, you know, this is easier if you're single. If you're married, you have to pay attention to your spouse for a few minutes when you come home.
Well, I'm not saying you have to walk in the door and go to bed. And I guess in some relationships, that might be a great improvement, too. We'll leave that unspoken and unsaid. But the point really is the time suck for many people is the unconscious time. It's the time where I'm just going to sit down to surf the web for a few minutes. I'm just going to sit down and watch TV for a few minutes. Those kinds of electronic things, not only do they end up taking, you spend much more time there unconsciously than you ever think you will, but the reality is I think a lot of research shows that surfing the web or watching TV can actually stimulate you and make you stay up even later than you would have had you not sat down in front of the screen. You have to be real careful about that. Even having the phone next to your bed, for some people, so much of a distraction, it probably keeps them from getting sleep.
Yeah, I agree with you. Greg Stebbins, Men's Health Magazine. Pick it up. Greg, thanks.
It's great to be here, Kate.
If you're having any problems with the IRS or a local revenue agency, I understand and I can help. I'm tax attorney Tony Dennison. When I was a kid, the IRS came after my mother's house because of mistaken information. Ever since then, I've dedicated my life to defending people in trouble with the IRS. I'm a real tax attorney, which means I have two law degrees, a standard law degree known as a JD, and a tax law degree known as a Master's of the Laws in Taxation. I've been practicing for 10 years, and I've helped many of your fellow citizens in tax trouble. If you're in tax trouble, you don't need to be alone, and you don't need to call one of those fake lawyer clearinghouses. Call me, Tony Dennison, at Dennison Tax Law, 952-886-7141, or on the web at DennisonTaxLaw.com. It may be the best call you make all year. Dennison Tax Law, 952-886-7141. And again, on the web at DennisonTaxLaw.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com. In a coming apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Do you suffer from low-functioning adrenal or thyroid? Did you know that mercury from your dental fillings comes off of your teeth both as a vapor and as particles into your body? Wherever mercury deposits in your body, it stops cells from functioning normally. Animal studies show that mercury causes kidney function to drop by 60%. Mercury deposited into your adrenals or thyroid will cause a corresponding drop in function. The number one method by which your body detoxifies itself of mercury is glutathione. The number one superfood that helps turn on all 10 trillion cells of your body to produce glutathione is non-denatured whey protein from grass-fed cows. After investigating most high-end whey proteins on the market, only one is the most non-denatured, the most active, the most complete, and in our opinion, the most powerful in what nature originally put into the fresh raw whey. It is One World Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
These are strange days indeed, from economic turmoil to weather-related events, and yes, even power outages. Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Let me tell you why I use WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides the most affordable and complete ready-made meals for emergency preparedness and outdoor use. Their entrees like pasta Alfredo, savory stroganoff, and apple cinnamon cereal carry a 25-year shelf life and are prepared in minutes simply by adding water. They even provide great-tasting a la carte items like freeze-dried fruits, vegetables, and desserts to ensure that you have more nutrition and energy when you need it most. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample and see for yourself why they are the best in the business. For a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 1-855-FOODWISE and be sure to mention the promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Be wise and be ready with WiseFoodStorage.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight. You know, we have a segment on this show called It's Your Business, and so many people are bombarding me with emails about their entrepreneurial ideas and trying to figure out ways to make it happen and saying they only have X amount of dollars available and how do they get things developed. And, you know, there's a million different things that we could talk about. And so much of this country is based on small businesses. Somebody told me the other day, I was at a chamber lunch, and that 90% of businesses in America are small businesses. Now, the definition of small business is 500 or less, at least in my dictionary. But I see a lot of people coming up with some great ideas, small, medium, and large, if you will. So waiting in our virtual green room, Jeff Fick. He is a guy who certainly knows businesses, big, small, domestic, international, entrepreneurs. That's right up a lot of our alleys, inventors, all that kind of stuff. He's a senior fellow at the Page Center for Entrepreneurial Studies Business School, Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. I won't hold him against that because I'm an Ohio University grad, by the way. Jeff, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for sharing your audience.
Do you think, and truly that's the truth, I'm getting more emails about this because we're talking about it a lot. Do you think this is the time for entrepreneurial things to happen when we had problems with job growth in the last 3 years? Is this the time to leap and maybe the net will find you when you have an idea?
Well, it's always a good time if you have a good idea. We're approached over 1,000 times a year by people with products or concepts or services that they are interested in launching or starting. And one of the things that I always tell people is the world doesn't need any more cosmetics or sporting goods or pet products or whatever it is that you want to market unless you can bring a product to market that has a point of difference. If you can improve on what's in the marketplace, it's always a good time because consumers are always looking for the newest, the best, something that has features and benefits that will improve their lives.
So how do you decide if you've got that point of difference? Because, you know, everybody thinks their child is beautiful. So I think it's kind of like that. I hate to put it that way. But, you know, I think I have a brilliant idea, Jeff, every third day. So how do I test that? I mean, friends would be kind, right? So that's not the way to test it. How do you test your product out?
Well, you start with friends and people that you trust their opinions. But what we tell people to do is three or four things. Number one is walk stores and be honest with yourself. Look at what's in the marketplace. Really do research online. Use every form of keyword that you can to look at competition. And then one of the things that's free, it doesn't cost a nickel to do, is go to USPTO.gov. That's the United States Patent and Trademark Office. It's free. You paid for it. You're funding the government. And you can punch in keywords and see if there's anything in your space, the product or service that you're interested in offering, if there's something already in existence that has patent protection. The other thing to do is sit down with people that you honestly trust that will be honest with you and run a kind of a personal focus group. You know, would you buy the product if it were available? Would you pay X amount of money for the product? What would you improve about my idea? What do you think is wrong? The most important thing is to find out about a product. And there's a lot of products and a lot of concepts that make sense. What I want to know, and every product has this issue, I want to know what's wrong so that I can address that and overcome that.
Oh, what's wrong? We got an email because, as I said, I had a ton of emails about various businesses, and this was from Al listening to us in Burlington, Vermont, WVMT, one of our great affiliates there. And he says, Kate, I was listening to a recent In Your Business or For Your Business, and my question was, how do I find money? Everybody I talk to seems to be able to get loans, but how do you even go after a loan when you have kind of an off-the-wall idea? And his product that he's trying to develop is sort of a modern day snow globe, but it's sand and bottles and with trinkets and that kind of stuff, and he thinks he could sell them at fairs and whatnot, and then eventually open maybe a storefront.
I would tell Al that what he should do is conduct a search, do his due diligence on a concept called bootstrapping. 35 years ago is how I started my first business. Millions of entrepreneurs all over the world, certainly many, many here in America, bootstrap their way. They start local, they start small, they build, they snowball, they reinvest. There's a lot of different bootstrapping concepts that are out there, but it is the single most important, the most relevant way to launch and leverage a small business. There are very, very few resources or concepts. Everybody, I mean, we're approached, as I said, many, many hundreds of times a year, and invariably people, the first question they ask is, you know, how do I raise $1 million? How do I raise a certain amount of money? And I tell them almost invariably, you probably won't raise monies until you show interest, what we call a product proof of life. You can create a production quality prototype. You can run a focus group. You can test market in a small way. There's a lot of different ways to proceed, but money, there's all the money in the world available. You can do receivable financing. You can factor invoices. There's a lot of ways to raise monies once you show investors that your product has legs.
Yeah, and you might do that by what you said, local, small, all that stuff. If you start to prove it, you start to go out, you start to massage the idea, and you start to make some sales, I guess, and you see that it's viable, at least there's some interest, that would help, wouldn't it, with investors?
Absolutely. We've had, I could tell you story after story after story of people that we have advised, not really clients, but people that have approached us, have had ideas, and we've directed them to and they'll start with local church fairs, county fairs, state fairs, art shows. They'll have a line of bath and body products or a line of gourmet food product. There's a million ways for clever people to start in a small way and leverage their product on the local level, use public relations, PR releases that are free. There are sources all over the internet now, which is an incredible tool that people use improperly for in many cases, but could do be much more productive for them. To take your product and build awareness, you got all the social media now. There's so many tools that are available today that weren't available many, many years ago when I started. It's available. It's out there. It's free.
I know. I love that. It's free. You just have to do your research. Give us some of the success stories that you've had. I love stories because, to me, that's what got me interested to make the leap myself and start my own business. And it's been really exciting. It really has been. And I think part of that is because I have passion for it, but I like listening to other people's success stories. I would start to read it in the magazines, and I would pay attention to it at whatever business school was putting on, you know, some kind of a show where they would go through products and whatnot. But you definitely have some stories you can brag on. Let's hear some of those.
Well, we do. We work with a lot of people at different levels and different size companies. We work with multinationals right down to inventors and entrepreneurs who are just starting out. In the last couple of years, there's been a run of, obviously, people who've been downsized out of their careers and their jobs, positions that they thought they would, retire from. But their companies have been downsized, and they pool their assets and say, wow, I'm in my 40s or 50s, and I'm probably not going to get a job in that industry, and I don't want to move. I don't want to relocate. So we had a lady come to us up in Ohio who had been an insurance, mid-level insurance company executive. She had received a settlement. And I said to her, she came to us, and I said, what's your passion? That's the key word. What's your passion? And she said, I love baking. And she said, I have developed a style of baking that I do commemorative baking. And when somebody graduates high school or a baby's born or somebody has a special anniversary, I customize a baked good that kind of, mimics the occasion. And she wanted to get involved in the baking business. So we helped her organize a kind of like a book of the month club for her baked goods. And she's customizing product now. She started with just herself in her kitchen, and she we taught her where to go to comply with regulation, with label statements and things like that, so she was legal and could get product liability insurance. And she has expanded now that she's got 4 employees, and now she's setting up a commercial bakery. She started locally and then went statewide, and now she's going further. Stories like that are legion. If you have a man has a pickup truck and a ladder and a toolbox, he could be an entrepreneur.
I like that. And you're that's probably simple. Right. Yeah, it's that simple. I love that. Jeff Fick, thank you so much. If someone wants to get a hold of you, how can they do that? I'm sure that we're just going to blow out your phone lines with business ideas.
Right. Our company is Duquesa Marketing, and the best way to reach us for free consultation, we love talking to people that call, go to newben, as in Ben Franklin, .net. newben.net. It'll link you to our website. There's a free consultative test you can take on there to see where you are in your process, and we will speak to anybody that wants a free analysis.
Excellent. Jeff Fick, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you, Kate.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
IRS, the three most dreaded letters of the alphabet. If you owe back taxes, have unfiled tax returns, are receiving threatening letters, or have IRS agents coming to your home or place of business, you need an experienced IRS agent fighting on your side. Call the Tax Relief Division of the Law Offices of Craig Zimmerman at 800-652-6978. Spearheaded by a former IRS agent, we know how to negotiate a reduction in the tax you owe, stop wage garnishments, lift bank levies, and negotiate an affordable repayment plan. With 17 years as a practicing attorney and an A-plus Better Business rating, we'll get the IRS off your back once and for all. In fact, recently, when an IRS employee had a tax problem, she called us. Stop being afraid and call right now for your free consultation at 800-652-6978. The phone call is free and there's no obligation, so call 800-652-6978. Again, that's 800-652-6978. Actual results based on individual client circumstances.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
No attorneys to plead my case. No OAS to send me into outer space. At my fingers, I'll be true. But diamonds and gold, but that ain't gonna help me now. I'm in trouble, in trouble now. I'm in trouble, yeah. I just turned my lights down. I'm in trouble, in trouble now. I'm in trouble.
All right, here we are heading through the final turn of this Hour of America tonight. And speaking of final turns, the Daytona 500, woohoo! It is the Super Bowl of auto racing, at least for the NASCAR variety, which, by the way, they've hit hard times. You know, the NASCAR at one point in the 90s especially had hit a high water mark where they were just printing money, I think, because of the sponsorships and the amount of people that went to the races. And not that there still aren't a lot of people that go to the races, but football is number one in the United States. I mean, the NFL, you just cannot tackle the NFL. It's that big, even though for these NASCAR races, you can squeeze a lot of people in, 200,000 crazy crowds. And it's really dropped off. Some of it, I think, has to do with maybe the restrictor plates and things that have happened with racing at some of the tracks, and just the interest waning. The younger generation is the generation that with any sports, they have to be brought into the fold. So you have now a lot of competition for people who have chronic ADD. And they're not really coming up through the loop when it comes to, I don't think, auto racing or some of the other sports. Matt Kenseth won the Daytona 500, and this is what it sounded like on a Monday.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. appeals to the outside, can't make it happen. Matt Kenseth is going to win the Daytona 500. Finally, Dale Earnhardt Jr. comes in second. Greg Biffle gets third. Denny Hamlin fourth. Jeff Burton is fifth. As we finally wrap this thing up on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, so it was really actually Tuesday morning. Kenseth afterwards had a few comments.
He had a lot of problems. They almost ended up a lap down there, so I had my my radio break and my tack break, and we pushed all the water out of it early, and we had to come and put water in it. So these guys did a great job. They never really panicked. I think they enjoyed their day more because they couldn't hear me on the radio very often with my radio problems. But these guys did a great job. I really got to thank this whole Best Buy team. It's pretty cool to win the 150s and never dreamed we'd be standing here tonight. I mean, I got to give a lot of credit to Doug Yates and the guys at the engine shop. We had great horsepower. I could get a pretty good start on the bottom, and either Denny or Dale Jr. could push me for a while, and then they just couldn't stay attached and I'd get away from them. So it would be just in time to get in front of Greg, and then the two of us together could just make some pretty unbelievable speed. So I really got to thank Greg. He did. We worked together really good all day long, and it just came down to whoever was in the front at the end. He had a really fast car as well.
Yeah, so it was a wild, wet, really fiery Daytona 500, and he still gets the victory, even if it is early on Tuesday. He can go out for breakfast, get one of those Grand Slams or something. Dale Earnhardt Jr., he mentions, he comes in second. Greg Biffle was third, and then from there you go to Denny Hamlin and Jeff Burton and on down the line. There was a few things that happened for this Daytona 500. One was the rain, of course, the big story, and the fact that they, because of the heavy rain in the 54 years, they never held it on a Monday into the wee hours that ultimately dragged into the Tuesday morning. And at the Nationwide Series race, running in the middle of the pack, you had the number 7 Chevy that spun entering turn 3 on the 50th lap. You know who was in that car? Danica Patrick. And JR Motorsports, her teammate, Cole Witt bumped in, or, you know, basically back, bumped, you know, drafted the back of her car before that spin, and she let off a string of expletives. I mean, blue as blue could be, that really had people discouraged and shaking their head at Danica Patrick. Because remember, that you can hear the pits and you can hear what the crew is saying. That's part of the whole process of being, you know, being involved in what's going on in the race. So she didn't win over a lot of fans with what happened there. He did bump her. That happened, but he's a teammate, and you want to curse him out, you got to do that at another time, or you could certainly let out a curse word. But she probably strung like 30 of them together. Matt, isn't that crazy what happened with the Daytona 500? That, as I said, for the entire time, they've never had that happen where they had to have the race Monday, let alone into Tuesday morning.
And then it was also red flag, too.
Yes.
And I saw a replay of what happened is that Juan Pablo Montoya, they had his car in the pit for a while. They were looking underneath it. And then he's going out under an already cautioned lap, and he just loses control of the car, and it slams right into one of the trucks that's drying the course, and it uses jet fuel, and the whole thing just went up in flames.
Man.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. That's why I said wet, fiery, and Matt gave us the description there of what happened, and it added to more of the mystique of this one that goes in the books, I think, without a doubt. So that's a wrap for the Daytona 500. As we get further down the track, a couple of things to end this hour with. We started off talking about, sadly, what happened in Ohio. That's a question that's going to not be answered in one show, 10 shows, or 15 shows, but it's worth the conversation. And if you have kids, it's worth having the conversation with them, because I'm sure they're talking about it. And I just have to think that as someone who's a parent, they have to be a little bit worried about what's going on with bullying, what's going on with cyberbullying, what's going on in the schools, in the hallways, in the lunchrooms, that kind of thing. And certainly, at some point, you have to think the school cannot be responsible for everything. The parents have to be involved. And how do you police, you know, how do you wrap your kids up in bubble wrap? And the answer is you really can't. The only way you can come close to that is if you did homeschooling, and I'm not a big fan of homeschooling. I know People will argue with me on that and give me lots of reasons why they think it's so wonderful. But because of now what we're seeing, and with technology and anti-socialization, that's, a lot of kids are a little bit more awkward. There has to be some of that going on. Now, somebody who homeschools would argue and say, as we just mentioned, sports there at the Daytona 500, well, their kids can be involved in sports, and if they're in a league, they're getting that. But I still think you're missing something with the homeschooling situation, unless you're in a very rural area, easy for me to say, after a couple cups of coffee, or there's some kind of specific reason where it really, really makes sense that the schools are that lousy, that your kids are not getting anything out of it, and you're 10 times smarter, and you have much more information that's valuable that will help them in the long run get into a school, get into college, do whatever, that will make them better human beings, and you feel that that's the way to do it, keep it in the nest. But I think more of the examples would go the other way, and it's better to put kids in the system. But, boy, you got to put them in the system. You check out these schools. I guarantee those parents checked out the schools. Everybody felt fine in Ohio, outside of Cleveland, and Chardon, Ohio, not expecting that their world would be shattered, and they'd be getting text messages from their kids. Mom, come pick me up from school. The school is going to close down. We're on lockdown, or we've been evacuated. There's been a shooting. And the panic that must race through somebody's system when they hear those words. Oh, man. The other thing that was huge on the day and is going to continue to be huge is how we're seeing gasoline, the cost of gasoline going up, 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 up. We know the threshold. We've talked about it a gazillion times, it seems, on America Tonight. $4 for most people. Oof, they just shake their heads, can't believe it. Think about this. In 2008, it was $1.87. I'd be loving life if it was $1.87. And I can't imagine mentioning parents who drive bigger vehicles, driving an SUV-like thing, some kind of truck, whatever, a Jeep, how much more they have to pay than just a car on the road that gets pretty decent, I mean, decent gas miles, not anything great. And here we are stuck in this weird energy vapor, I think. And it's like a vapor to me because we keep hearing about alternatives and nuclear power and what are we going to do with oil and the Keystone Pipeline. And I mean, the examples are out there. Lots of examples of missed opportunities and things that should have happened, even in developing green alternatives that could have been put in place 30 years ago.
Earnhardt Jr. appeals to the outside, can't make it happen. Matt Kenseth is going to win the Daytona 500. Finally, Dale Earnhardt Jr. comes in second. Greg Biffle gets third. Denny Hamlin fourth. Jeff Burton is fifth. As we finally wrap this thing up on Tuesday morning.